Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And today is the start of our first, I think our first minute with no dialogue at all.
So that's my first note is a whole minute with no dialogue.
Yep.
And I had to go back to make sure that was correct. And the only one that it would have been the first minute that we did, first episode. Obviously the only other minute that it could have possibly have been was the first one. But yeah, we get Chani narration in that one.
And I mean, the movie opens with the starter car.
Yeah. So this is the first minute with no dialogue. And it begins with Jessica's jaw being clenched tight, and it ends with a box being closed tight.
It's been a stressful evening for Lady Jessica.
Yeah, she needs to pop a gummy or something and go to bed. Just chill out.
Bro, I think at this point she's so stressed that she wouldn't even like any kind of edible wouldn't even help her. At the end of last episode, we talked about how Paul's kind of discovering that his mother may not be the person that he thought. You kind of mentioned some possible sadness or anything that Paul's feeling. In this moment, we see that sadness because the minute starts with Paul kind of like having that realization. Then he does this thing where he just kind of like looks down and he looks a little sad and confused. And then we just get a hard cut right to looking from the sky down towards the sea and see the oceans of Caladan.
But wait, what's that?
Something is rising from within the water.
It's a very weird place to keep a spaceship.
Ah.
Under the water.
I mean, it is and it isn't, right? Like, nothing's going to bother it or nothing's going to disturb it, and it's hidden. So
I'm going to take us down a little bit of a tangent here.
Go for it.
Mostly as filler because we're just watching scenes at this point. I'm sure we've talked about this in the past, but I don't remember. How big of a Futurama fan were you?
I mean, I haven't seen any of the new like Hulu Futurama.
Sure.
Because I would like to retain the good memories that I have of the show.
Right. Okay.
But
they're not bad.
Sure.
Anyways, what I'm talking about.
You and I have talked about this before, how it seems like too on the nose referential for like COVID and quarantine and all that shit.
They've always been like that, but they dialed it up.
You said that it was,
they definitely did dial it up. There's an episode in particular that this reminded me of.
The Dune episode?
No.
Okay.
It's called The Lost City of Atlanta.
Yeah, of course.
There's a bit of dialogue between Fry and the professor where they take the ship into the ocean, underneath the ocean. And the professor's like, oh, we're reaching, 18 atmospheres of pressure.
Yeah.
He's like, how many atmospheres can the spaceship handle? He's like, well, it's a spaceship. So anywhere between 0 and 1. Great joke. Funny line.
Sure.
I immediately thought of this when I saw the spaceship rising out of the ocean.
Yes, I get the joke. I would hope that the Atreides were smart enough to know, like, hey, we're going to take this big-ass ship and put it underwater, so maybe it should be a little more structurally sound.
Sure.
No,
something's airtight. It's probably watertight.
Yeah. I think it's such a cool shot to see the ship kind of, like, rising up, though, because, like, it's kind of reminiscent of like something that you would see in like Jaws where you see the shark rising up, but instead it's giant ass spaceship.
Yep.
And we just get this huge grumbling sound as it's coming out of the water. We hear like this massive torrent of all the water falling off from the ship as it's continuing to rise.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed, so we've talked a lot before about the visual language and design of each of the different houses and stuff. Right. It's very important for a lot of reasons. One is just to like show that these nothing in this universe is cookie cutter. Everything yeah. has its own language and aesthetic. The royal ships, so the one that we saw, the agent of the Herald of the Change, mm-hmm. and the Bene Gesserit, which even though the Bene Gesserit are kind of their own thing, either way, they're both kind of like egg-shaped ships.
Yeah.
The Harkonnens are very bug-shaped.
Yep.
And in this case, these Atreides ships, to me, looks like if you took aircraft carriers and just made them fly.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
a lot more that. Industrial kind of looking,
sharp edges,
yeah,
very angled. At first, maybe it's a shot we see later on. I thought it kind of almost looked like the Sandcrawler from Star Wars, like that's
it does have that, like, here once again. Sorry for audio listeners, which are the only listeners because we don't do a video on this. But
yeah, it's very, very angled.
Yeah. It does have that Sandcrawler from Star Wars kind of look.
Yeah. So it's rising up out of the water. I wanted to note, I know these are computer graphics, and I just, my note here says, thank God for CG.
Yes.
If anyone has ever watched old war movies, specifically like old movies about ships,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that they would do back before computer generation was they would have models. You know, they'd work a lot of these like big, you know, quote unquote sweeping landscapes.
Well, it's not even war movies. Like Titanic used a 1-200 scale model, yeah. which was still like 20 feet long or something.
Yeah,
it was huge.
Well, I say war movies just because that's where I know it from.
Sure. But,
there's something very, very bad about filming water like this. Water on a small scale does not act the same as water on a large scale.
Yep.
And it's very hard to replicate that using models. I thought this water pouring off the ship as it rises out of the ocean looked great. I mean, it clearly has the effect of this ship is massive.
Yes.
You can absolutely, like, they're invoking that sense of scale and, again, thank goodness for computer graphics, because they could not, I don't think they could have done this with using models and stuff like that.
It's hard. Yeah. Like you said, it's hard to show that amount of water.
Yeah.
Moving.
Yeah.
Without.
And the same thing for sand. So the Lynch movie got in trouble with this a lot because they would use like models of the worms later on in the movie and have them going through sand, and the dynamics, and I want to say fluid dynamics, I'm not sure if that's the right term, but it just acts different when you're looking at something that's supposed to be massive but it's actually just a scale model. It's something just that your eye catches it, and just that everything moves differently. So Lynch movie got in trouble with it, I'm glad that we're not going to run into that with this one.
I'd like to correct myself.
You're being handed a report.
Yeah, you're being handed a report. I was very wrong on the size of the scale model for that they used for Titanic. Yeah, it was fucking huge.
Yeah, I remember it being like
775 feet long.
wasn't that James Cameron?
Yeah,
dude loves his ocean movies.
Yeah, it was a 90% scale model.
That's probably why it looks so good.
Then. Yeah, and to your point, that amount of water and everything else. I'm looking at a picture of it, and like half of it
is great radio, man.
Yeah, this is fantastic radio. Half of it is like several people wide. So,
yeah. so we see their royal ships start to rise out of the water. We get a lot more of the landscapes around Caladan.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Paul
touching grass for the last time.
Touching grass. Yep. Clearly, he's just visiting all of the spots that are near and dear to him on the planet. He knows that he's about to leave. So then we start seeing, you know, the last scene in this montage of clips is the portrait of the old Duke being packed away into a box.
In my notes, it's Todd being packed away.
Oh, T.O.D. The old Duke. The old Duke. Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So I'm just going to call him Todd from now on.
All right. Well, we know his name.
Yeah.
anyways. But yeah, so no words. No words at all in this minute.
Not a single one.
A lot of cool shots, though. A lot of good storytelling just with, you know, they're packing stuff up. They're moving on out. I did have a note to... Nope, that's for next one. Just kidding.
Nope. mixing up your notes here.
Yeah, well, it's one, a very similar minute in the next one.
I do want to go back 10 seconds or so. Okay. The scene where Paul is touching some grass. And then he gets up and he kind of walks further along the coastline and everything. And then we see the ships rising from the water from another angle. Such an awesome shot, honestly. Like, and I'm sure it probably was a two take kind of shot. Where it's just like,
they could do that in one. All you have to do is just look and turn.
Unless it was like a, hey, you turned too fast, or like you know, missed your marker or whatever. Who knows?
I hope that old Timmy is better actor than that.
Sure. I'm certain he is, but the point is like, even those little shots help make this movie feel that much like bigger in terms of everything that's going on.
Absolutely.
And also just seeing the ship rising out of the water from another angle is so fucking cool. So
we just get mist pouring off the ship, like as it you know, flies off, as the water flies off. So that's that was really, really cool.
Do you think they get everyone on the ships while they're still underwater? Because they seem to just go right from the water right into the sky. So do you think they just have like a Gungan sub kind of situation where they just like take a bunch of people under, into load them into the ship, and then just...
I had not thought about this until right now. I'm going to assume it's a system of tubes.
It's just the internet, man.
I don't know. Maybe they're docked into something below the water, and they can access and load up everything there and just take off.
A system of tubes.
The system of tubes. Just a very big, like a bank teller tube system.
That'd be fun to ride in.
Of course. It's our second Futurama reference in
one episode.
Nice, oh, yeah. Nice. All right, clearly we're stretching for content.
We are, and that's the end of this minute.
Yep. No other notes on my list. Cool. Yeah. If you want to reach out to us, we have our Gmail address at duneminute@gmail.com. We are on Twitter or X.
It's just Twitter.
At Dune Minute. And we are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We should have a link in the show notes that'll take you to all those different sites if you'd like to get in touch with us. If we miss something, if we want to comment on something that we said, let us know. And we love talking to people, even though we have not officially talked to anyone yet.
Not yet.
I love talking to people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll do it for this minute. We'll see you back tomorrow.
We'll see you later.
See you.